You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we want to thank you for joining us here. The next half hour, we're going to be diving into the Word of God. We're looking in Mark chapter 9, and how there was a father that came to Jesus and requested that Jesus have compassion on him and his son and to provide them the help that they need. The good news is God does have that compassion. And we should as well. And so the story of this not only involves the dad and the son and Jesus, it involves the crowd that was, it says here in the King James, what are you discussing with them? I was remembering another translation, and it was confusing me, where another, that word discussing is actually the same word that is, used up, a few, lines before that, where, it said that they were, arguing with Jesus. Or disputing, describes disputing with him. It means to argue. They were arguing, they were debating, they were pointing fingers at the disciples. So we're gonna dive back into that. So I did go and figure out what it was that I was looking for and couldn't find. So I wanted to share that with you. I want to say thank you to the folks of Treasure Your Landscape and Space Coast Nursery. One of the things I don't mention very often is you can find them on Facebook. They make some posts from some of their projects with Treasure Your Landscape. They also will make some posts from Space Coast Nursery showing you some of the products that they have available. Listen, there was a lot of landscape carnage from the cold that blew through here. We had a couple of pretty intense cold snaps for Brevard County standards. And if you suffered some horticultural casualties, Space Coast Nursery has a lot of product to offer you. And so they're located 3880 North Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal on the east side of the road right across from Sunset Lakes. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Phone number is 321-452-5565. So if you're wanting to get out there and do it yourself, that they've got a wide array of products that you can work with. My daughter loves dealing with plants and things like that, so she's working on growing us some tomatoes and a few other vegetables. I don't think that Space Coast Nursery offers anything in the fruit-bearing variety, but you could call them and ask them at 321-452-5565. Treasure Your Landscape provides all of the labor to make a transformation take place in your yard. They're a licensed and insured family business. They've got over 20 years of experience. They're based here in Brevard County. They service all of Brevard County. And whether you're looking for artificial turf, by the way, this is not the stuff that you can buy other places that's just lower end. This is really high quality premium artificial turf. They also do carefully designed putting greens, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They have a full array of products, drains and downspout installation and management. They want to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Dan and Treasure and Heaven and their team. They do a fantastic job. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. And maybe they're the resource you need to make your yard look better than it's ever looked before. So thank you guys for your support of the Refresh Radio program. So on yesterday's program, we were talking about some of the destructive actions that are evidence of demonic activity. I'm not the type of person that goes looking for a demon under every rock. I'm just not that guy. I know that there can be multiple sources of problems in our life, and I have encountered demonic activity. I don't have to go looking for it. If we're walking in the anointing of God and the presence of God on the mission that God has for us, demons are going to want to get out of there in a very short order. So we'll talk about that some more. But let me read verses 14 through 29, and then we'll dive back into the passage today. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them? Or what are you arguing about?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples so that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, Jesus, and when he saw him, when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." But when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So on, I believe it was yesterday's program, we were talking about that there can be physical situations, there can be mental situations, there can be emotional situations, and there can be spiritual situations. And sometimes the symptoms or the actions can be very similar, so we need to understand the difference between what's going on. And yesterday's program, I talked about that demonic activity has a very destructive and very controlling aspect about it. It's not about free will. It's about spiritual bondage. And it is about destroying someone that Jesus died on the cross to save. I believe the conclusive, the most convincing evidence that you're dealing with a demonic spirit activity is how does it respond to the presence of Jesus? How does it respond to when the Word of God is ministered in truth and power and love? Whenever there's a spirit of worship that is taking place, what is happening in that situation? And demons believe in Jesus. They tremble at his presence, and they recognize that they are in the presence of the ultimate authority in all of creation. They're not in charge. Jesus is in charge. And so as this situation begins to progress from why are you arguing with my disciples to getting to the boy, the father says this: "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Now, I want to say that in verse number 23, Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So we have a statement of ineffectiveness in verse number 18. And on the other end of the discussion, we have a promise in verse number 23 of unlimited capacity to see great things done because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like to say today, don't let failure have the final word in what you are capable of. I'm almost 65. It's getting closer and closer by the day. And there's been a lot of failure in my life. You know, things that I tried to do didn't succeed at. The good news about walking with Jesus is it is a journey. And hopefully you and I are still learning, and hopefully we're still growing in what God is able to do through us. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Exodus, and one of the weeks that we discussed was Moses was saying, "Oh, I'm not the right guy. You God made a mistake when you chose me. I'm not the guy to go back." And here are all the reasons why. And I will tell you this, that God does not need our abilities. He needs our availability. He wants our availability. The truth of the matter is, God could have reached down, grabbed up all of the Hebrew people, plucked them up, placed them in the promised land, and set them right in the promised land where he had promised to establish them. He could have done that without Moses. He could have done it without Pharaoh and the plagues and all of that. But God had a reason, and God had a plan, and his plan was to use Moses. And Moses has had tremendous influence in spite of Moses' feelings of insecurities about what he was capable of. So I pray that if you have prayed for someone in the past and they didn't get healed, that you don't give up praying. Instead, Let me just give you a little tease here about the end of the story, where in verse number 28, the disciples in private asked Jesus, why could we not cast it out? And that means to throw it out, drive it out. Why could we not be successful in the same way that you are? So even though the disciples did not have the maturity at that point in time to be successful in this young man's life, Jesus deals with no inadequacy. He's not restricted the way that we followers of Jesus are. And so he looked at the disciples and said, they couldn't do it. And Jesus' response is very, very interesting. I've told you there are several questions that Jesus asks. So let's look at those questions, first of all. The first question that Jesus asks is, what are you discussing with the disciples? What are you arguing with them about? I will tell you that the devil loves strife and discord. He loves strife and discord in families. He loves strife and discord between husbands and wives. He loves generational strife and discord. He relishes strife and discord in a church. Thrives on it. He loves to create division in any group of people, and it's one of the statements that Jesus makes that should cause every person in America to be praying, because we are a very, very divided people right now. And I'm not talking about, well, you've got a different opinion than what I've got. That's not what I'm talking about. Again, unity is not you agreeing with me. It is also not me agreeing with you. Unity is both of us agreeing with the Word of God. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so if there's an argument that's going on, there are some things that are worth, if it is an absolute, if it is a biblical truth, then let's hammer it out. Let's find out what the Word of God has to say, not so that I win the argument, not so that you win the argument, but that we both win and that we align better with the Word of God at the end of the discussion than we did before. That's the way that you have theological discussions. Now, if you start trying to bring outside culture to influence the Word of God, we're going to have problems, because the Word of God endures forever. Culture doesn't. So the eternal standard is the Word. And we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding the truth. So that should be the goal of any discussion, of any debate, of any argument. I don't like debating just for debating's sake. I will graciously exit the conversation if all that is being done is there's going to be an argument for argument's sake. There are people who argue about things. In fact, one of the reasons that I quit watching the news is it quit being about the news and it became a debate between this person's opinion and that person's opinion. And I said, just give me the news. I'm smart enough to look at the news and figure out if it's true or if it's not true. And one of the things that happens here in America is we hear something, automatically jump on it, thinking that we're being presented the truth, we're being presented the facts, and actually what we're being presented with is opinion. So sometimes you have to have some patience, and instead of allowing the devil to divide us, we need the Spirit of God to unite us. So the first question, what are you arguing or debating or discussing? What are you arguing with my disciples about? That's the first question. The second question comes when Jesus is told by the Father, I brought him to your disciples, but that they should cast it out, but they could not. They didn't have the power. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? So before the question is a statement that is not complimentary. The question is preceded by this lamentable statement, O faithless generation. An entire group of people who had been given the measure of faith, but they were living their lives faithless. And so Jesus sets the stage, and he describes there's this entire generation, and there's problems. They're looking for help, but there's no faith. So remember that statement, because we're going to deal with faith and belief later on in this story. But it's not an individual problem, it's a generational problem. Did you know that the Bible makes this statement? It says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So, like I said, the Bible says that to every person has been given the measure of faith. So God, in creating us, he did not just create us physiologically. He equipped us with faith to believe. And the enemy starts trying to hack away at that belief system, at faith in God, faith in people. He tries to attack that as early as he can in a person's life, with the ultimate goal being he doesn't want people putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so there are people who are absolutely dogmatic in things that the Bible says exemplify a fool, not a wise person, and yet they're extremely dogmatic. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Jesus is ministering to the chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, and at this point in time, he's looking and he's found faith in a Canaanite woman. He's found faith in a centurion. He finds faith among people who are the rejects of society. He finds an occasional isolated incident of faith, but he says, right now, this generation is faithless. And so thank God we have been seeing a generational shift here in America, where the group of young people that are teenagers and coming up into adults, that there's been a swing of the pendulum away from faithlessness there's been more of an interest in faith. And so Christian music has been rising in popularity. People have been attending church. There's actually been an uptick in church attendance across the nation. That hasn't happened in a long long time. There have been people who are who have been getting baptized in young college campuses, where which have long been a battlefront against Christians. Suddenly now there are thousands of people who are gathering together for prayer and worship events and giving their heart to Jesus. So praise God for a generational shift. Jesus makes that statement and he says, "How long shall I be with you?" Now, I believe that this is a statement that he made to let the church know, hey, I'm doing everything that I'm doing because when I go to the Father, greater works than I've done shall you do. It's not greater in magnitude. It's because he's returning to the Father. He's going to be praying for the church like he does in John 17. He's going to be sending God the Holy Spirit, who is, he says, is expedient for, it's expedient to you that I go, because when I go, he comes. And so it's that all of a sudden, it's not going to be about one person. I'm so thankful that the kingdom of God is not just about one congregation. It's not about just one church. One of the reasons that we've tried to support other church activities the way that we have throughout the years is because we wanted our congregation to know, hey, you might feel small, you might feel isolated, but I want you to know God is doing things on a broader spectrum than what we can see with our own eyes. And it's not just here in America, it is around the world. The real answer to this question, however, is this: Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You may look around with your eyes today, you may not see Jesus with your eyes, but I assure you, the omnipresent one is right there with you, whether you're going through a success or going through a challenge, he's right there with you. And he's not going to abandon you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. My wife was talking with someone, and she was having a rough day. Not my wife, this lady she was talking to. And she had a little encounter with Jesus, and it changed her day. It was a promise for her that Jesus was with her, and she said, he's not going anyplace. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.